part of that feasting, saith the Spirit of grace, is coming into that place of communion where I commune with your Spirit. I speak where I really speak at, where I get revelation and understanding and direction of life is over to your Spirit. Too many of my children are trying to figure out something with their head, and it is not coming to pass in peace like they want it to. But I say, when you come in line with the things of the Spirit and allow me to pass over through your Spirit in that place where my Spirit lives, then your natural soul and mind will come to a place of understanding and peace. And then peace will be the thing that guides and directs your path. Did I not say that wisdom is justified of her children? Too many of my children move forward in the things that they have come to conclusion in their mind and the things that they have derived through the process of reasoning. And as a result of it, things go amiss and then they blame me as if I directed them into a falsehood. But know that when you settle things according to my word and according to the peace that passes all understanding, even when your natural mind doesn't understand it, but you know that you're following righteousness and you're following the way of truth and you've not discarded any of those checkpoints, but you're following truth on the inside, then wisdom will be justified of her children. In other words, what you said was me and what you thought would be me, you'll come to the end of it, and sure enough, I'll be standing there, saith the Spirit of grace. I'll make a way of escape in the storm. I'll bring forth wisdom so that you can endure, and peace will be the order of the day. One thing, as a telltale sign, one thing when you're in the storm and you're wondering, am I on the path that he set in front of me? You'll know, because humility, a teachable spirit, will set the order and it'll justify the place that you call the mind of Christ. When you're readily offended, when you're readily offended and it feels like you're bruised on every area, and when someone touches that area, you're so eager to defend it, then you'll know, I'm not in that. I'm not in that. But if you can quietly reside in the place that you call my mind to you, it won't matter. It won't matter what is said or what is done around you. You'll rest in my peace, and that peace will be justified of her children, the offspring, the days ahead, what will come about by what you decided was my wisdom will justify your present day actions, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glorify you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. Magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Didn't know that was coming, but we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it. We worship you, Jesus. One more time, and we'll greet each other and do something.
Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden light, and he is able.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Woo. Are you glad you're in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Me too. Hallelujah. Why don't you take a few moments to greet one another and give somebody a great big hug. If you don't know that person, introduce yourself. Tell them how glad you are to see them in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. All right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wow, it's good to be back home. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're just going to give you the opportunity this morning to prepare yourself for giving. And I just appreciate, I'm going to say some more in a little bit, about your faithfulness and about your support while we were gone and everything that that you did as laymen, as elders. And I especially appreciate having left here with a good supporting cast and leaving Homer in charge. So praise God. Amen. And so right now, why don't you just, if you've prepared something, come in here to get ready. Why don't you ask the Lord what he'd have you to give? And maybe you already know that. We do trust the Lord through your giving to provide for this ministry on a weekly basis. So Father, right now, we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. In the land of the living, we ask you to bless our time of giving right now, and we just pray that you'll open up our hearts. We call this a blessed offering, and we thank you, Lord, that you do it to supply and to meet all our needs according to your riches and glory by one Christ Jesus, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'll stand with us once again. I know you're getting some exercise this morning. That's good. You'll stay awake. So if you miss someone in that last little greeting, this is the time to say hi, and then you can have a seat. But why don't you go ahead, Marty, if you've got something that you can play for us. If you have something, go ahead and bring it down. If you're making out a check, just make it out to FPC. Thank you, Father, for this offering, this time of giving and sharing. We ask you to lead us, guide us according to your divine counsel. According to your truth, your word is truth. And Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord. It's all by you. It's all for you, Father. We can do nothing in ourselves. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It's blessed. I want to say thanks. I don't know if any of you got a chance to watch any of the services while we were gone. Did anybody? Okay, a few? Okay, good. Marty's raising his hand in the back. Homer said he saw him. That's my buddy back there, I'll tell you what. I appreciate, I'm not just saying it, I should say it, but I appreciate Homer's ministry. Hallelujah. And I don't know what he preached on. We didn't get a chance to talk. We texted one time and talked on the phone one time, and that was pretty much the beginning. But I'll listen to those this week in my devotion time as soon as Candy is able to get them up. But I'm sure they were excellent. The anointing or the revelation did not go down at all. There were none diminished while I was gone. And I'll tell you what, I'm so blessed, and we're so blessed to have a man here that steps into the pulpit with that kind of quality. And so praise God. Thank you, Homer. And thank you, Rosie. I don't know if she's in here. She's taking care of the baby. Thank you, Rosie, for putting up with Homer. Amen. She is probably Rosie and Candy are probably two of the most spiritual people in this congregation. They're wonderful ladies. So we certainly appreciate it. I want to say this next week. Well, let me say this first of all. I want to encourage you that if you can, please listen to the conference. Go to Jim Martin's website, and you'll have two opportunities. You can either go to the MP3 and just listen to it audio, or you can watch. Go to the archive section, and you can watch the whole service. And they're really, really good. There seemed to be a reoccurring theme in the conference, which was worship, corporate worship, and private worship. And just the Lord just took it to another level. It was incredible. And I appreciate it. Gary ministered a message. If there was any one that I could tell you that I would recommend, Gary Carpenter, and I believe it was on Wednesday night, and I checked this morning. I'm trying to remember. I think it's called Denying the Words of Jesus or Denying the Words of Christ. It's important. The reason why I'd say it's important is because you guys, and I say you guys, I'm talking about home team, you know that I have taught some pertinent series on the heresy, and I say that in love, the heresy of what I've termed, and I had other men of God term, radical grace. Some would call it radical grace. Another name for it is greasy grace, hyper grace. I recommended several months ago a really good book by Dr. Michael Brown, who is a born-again, spirit-filled, extremely knowledgeable in the Word, extremely intelligent, born-again, spirit-filled Jew by nationality, but has done an excellent book with a non-demeaning, non-condescending message about some of the hyper-grace teachers out there. And he gives quotes. So you're not saying, well, opinion, I think this guy believes this. He gives actual quotes. And so Gary did that, and this was the first time, and I say I myself, you know, I've taught some series on it, but I've never mentioned name. I've never mentioned any names. Gary felt impressed that we're now at a point where it's really okay to mention names. And he went back and he actually, you know, he talked to Pastor Jim about it. He wouldn't do anything out of his pulpit that was not, you know, in agreement. But true to form, he had the Word of God. The Word of God says to mark those who cause division among you. And there comes a point, there really does come a point, and I'm not sure when that point will be for me. It may be coming up soon. And it's not to belabor a point. It's not to just pound on these people. Because just like Gary said, maybe 90% of everything they say is really good stuff. He said when he read their books, one of the things that he said, I thank God. I just praised God when I read their material that I'd had years of foundation in the Word and years of praying in tongues. Because it's so easy. So easy. Because what they say, unless you look at it in the light, it's so easy for it to be twisted in your mind. And then that's where that fallacy, it's like, you know, you can't get a, if you're going to kill a dog, you can't get him to eat straight strychnine. You know, you put it out there, you can't get him to eat it. Not that anybody around here is wanting to poison a dog. But you mix a little bit in there, in the hamburger, just 10%, you can get him to eat that. The body of Christ, I remember Homer saying at one point, it's been a couple years ago, the Lord had him go and begin to listen to these guys, and he said the same thing Gary did. He said, my God, if I had not had the years of praying in tongues, I can see where so much of the body of Christ is just pulled in with these guys. Well, Gary actually named names, and that was important. He withheld not naming a couple of guys that we... or at least one guy that we really still respect, and all these guys we respect in a loving sense of the word, as far as we believe their intent is good. They don't necessarily like know that they're deceived, but I can tell you this. This is the introduction to 2 Peter and Jude, that in the end there will be those that are teaching lasciviousness. Now, these guys are not
presently, they're not presently saying, we promote, we want you to go out there and just fornicate, go out there and have an adulterous affair. They're not doing that. What they are doing is this. They are taking away all penalty for sin. In other words, it's okay if you fornicate, and it's okay if you do that. There's no penalty for it. They are the first generation of the one that is yet to come. And they're doing a horrible injustice to the body of Christ. And they're going to bring, and here's the sad part is, there's going to be people that were once believers who went out, listened to these guys, and said, okay, no, it's okay to live together. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. And they just did it. They just stayed in that position for years and then went into the lake of fire. And these guys are the first generation of teaching that. And this is where it's so important, because it's coming to a point where we're not going to give any Christians that we love an opportunity to say, scratch your head and say, now what is it? Which one of those is he saying? Now, I think it's quite evident to most of you in here that have followed some of our series on this, where, you know, who these guys are. And again, we love them, but I'm telling you, this is a day and hour that it's important to know the Word and to pray in the Spirit and keep going forward. So that one particular message that Gary taught, it was so loving, so non-condescending, but you need to listen to it. And it's on a Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. I want to say that we're going to have an opportunity next week and the weeks following. For some time, the Lord has been speaking to my heart about, and all of us have been praying, and Friday night and on Sunday nights, Friday nights for a long time, and then now Sunday nights we're speaking confessions. And we've been speaking confessions over the provision of the camera media ministry and all these kinds of things. Oh, and by the way, no Sunday night service tonight, okay? I didn't get a chance to speak with Miss Gay, but I talked to Marty. I personally need to rest, and this will be my second week not to be here on a Sunday night, so if I'm going to rest, I want to let all of you rest. Hallelujah. So I've been in two services a day and preached several times last week, and it was wonderful, but we're just going to rest tonight. Amen? All right. So, but next Sunday, we're going to have the opportunity to give into the camera media ministry. We did this a couple of years ago, and then we immediately went through a crisis. And I spoke with some of the people that gave. One person gave about $800, and that money has been preserved. We set it aside in a savings account, and that's there, and that's going to be part of. I'll just tell you, we need about $3,500 for the camera, the dedicated computer, the more lights in here. This is what the Holy Spirit has said to me. This is where God's got me as the pastor of the church. I know that this is his mind and that this is his will. I don't want anybody under pressure, not at all, not in the least. And that's the way that we do things around here. But since we know, you know, I've got in front of me the camera that we're going to buy, the wires and the adapters and all the lighting and everything, as soon as we get it, we're not going to wait around. We're not going to let the devil steal it. I'd go put it on a credit card, and we've got a credit card that we can buy all that stuff. But I do not want to pay 28% interest. Okay, I just believe it's going to come in, amen. And I want no pressure on anyone. We're going to give you an opportunity next week. Listen, Candy and I, we meet people everywhere we go that are excited about what they hear out of here. We were at the hotel where we were at, and we had the opportunity to escort some Australian, some Aussies that rode with us all week. And they listened to us down there. They listened to our messages, and they are so excited about being able to watch us. And people all over the world are excited about being able to watch us. So Next week, we're going to give you an opportunity. Pray about it all week. We're going to have a regular offering because we need to have the continuation of just the general funds to pay for everything and expenses. But just pray and ask God what He'd have you to give, if anything. But believe that I just know that, hey, if for nothing else, we need to have Homer's handsome face up here. Amen. That's going to draw it right there. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Homer. Thank you. And so those days are coming, and they're coming in the next month or so. Our first objective is we're going to go on YouTube. We'll be posting on YouTube, and then people will be able to watch it. And then eventually, pretty soon in the future, we'll be live streaming. So they'll have the people all over the world will see you, okay? Hallelujah. Amazing enough. Praise the Lord. Just lift up your hands for a moment. Worship with me. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. I thank you, Father, for your anointing that's in this house and was in this house, and not for granted, but will be in this house in the days ahead. I love you, Daddy. I love you so much, and I love everyone in here, and I love those that are listening. I'm asking you to speak to our hearts, to continue to convey to our hearts and our minds the message of truth and the wisdom of Almighty God. We love you, Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I really am excited about, I don't know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Homer about what he ministered. I'm sure it was incredible. It always is. I get fed. I got fed this week. It was wonderful. But let me say this, and I can say it because I'm the pastor. And I can say it with ginger and with love. And I heard a couple of times, I don't know if it was last time that Homer spoke on a Sunday night with the young adults. It was the last time or the time before he said something similar to what I'm about to say. The conference was incredible. Just absolutely incredible. I spoke, I had three messages. Some of what you guys have been, pretty much of what you guys have already been listening to, and did some exhortations that were like 20 minutes long, but incredible, you know, just incredible. And we heard the cutting edge of what men of God are saying in the mind of Christ, and that was wonderful. That was absolutely wonderful. But I can tell you this, and those men would say this about their place and their location, because I know where they come from. I did not leave something to go get in something more anointed or something that has more revelation. The level of anointing that is here this morning and was here last week when Homer was ministering, it was the same level that was there. The same depth of revelation that you're hearing weekly. Why? Because we're praying in tongues. And we're meditating the Word. And we're spending the hours that it takes to go in and get something to feed you with. Praise the Lord. What I got was, number one, tremendous fellowship. That's great. I got that. And I got the, if you can say it this way, the impregnation or the giving of new stuff to go back and say, glory, you know, I'm going to meditate that, I'm going to build on that, and I'm going to take that to the next level. So that's really good. And the Lord can do new things, as in invoking something, not something new, but taking the foundation that you've already got and just building on that. That's wonderful. Well, why do you say all that? I say all that to say this. Never, and I mean never. Now, I'm saying this in love, as It's a strong suggestion. I can't make you do this. Never go to a conference saying, man, I just got to get jacked up. I need that to go get close to the Lord. I need that to go, you know, get built up. Listen, if you're going to a church like this and that's your objective, you're already out of order. You're already out of order. Why? Because you're already hearing the wisdom of God on a weekly basis. And if you say, I'm going to go to that conference so I can go get close to the Lord, you're kidding yourself. After that conference is over, you'll just come back and you'll just go into... See, Gary said something, and it was amazing because I was... The last night they had the four of us get up and give a brief kind of surmising of what we'd heard from the Lord and where our spirits was at. And Gary's was so just, we were just like right in there together about what we were saying. It doesn't matter if it's a conference or if it's just a weekly, whether you go to a conference or you don't come to a conference. Do you know the thing that you fight? And I know you fight it because I fight it. The biggest devil that we all fight in our life against change is this devil. Here's his name. What is it, Pastor? It's got to be some... Is it witchcraft? Is it adultery? Is it fornication? Is it pornography? No. The biggest devil that you all fight, because I fight it, is same old, same old. Same old, same old. Just hearing the same thing and never advancing to the next level of change. Here's the deal. No matter what you hear from this, from me, or Homer, or anybody, the spiritual part of it is in, we have this, and I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching with you. If I could sit down in a pew and hear myself, because I'm listening, we think when somebody comes up, prays for, boom, falls out in the spirit, we don't push nobody, but if they fall out, or if they slain in the spirit, or they begin to speak in tongues, or they get a miracle in their body, or you hear the word and you say, wow, that's the best word I've ever heard. That revelation that's given to you does you no good until it becomes engrafted and it becomes a practical application of your life. No matter what you hear and you walk out and say, man, that was a good message. I really, really enjoyed it. You know where spirituality begins? Spirituality begins... Let me give you my example. Now, everybody's different, and I don't say this to epitomize myself or say, wow, boy, that guy's... Listen, and maybe it's the years of construction. I get up early to pray. That's just my deal. I get up early. The stars are out. I can get in those hours. And I'm not using the word hours, S, to impress anybody. This is what I do for a living. This is what Homer does for a living. This is what we do. We should be putting in the hours. We should be. Now, I don't know what he's called you to do, but he's called every one of you to do something. But here's where spirituality starts. Here's where the application of conferences start. It's not in the fun and, you know, fun and games. And it wasn't any games. It's the fellowship is wonderful. It's encouraging. The revelation is encouraging. You come here, you never go to a conference. You get an encouragement on Sunday or Wednesday. And you go home. Here's where the spiritual stuff starts. The spiritual stuff starts for me early in the morning when you're not there. This cheap Timex on my side of the bed is going to start going beep, 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 and I'm going to shut it off, okay? I got a flashlight there so I don't wake Candy up. All my spiritual world, my whole entire spiritual world, anything that I can give you, anything that I can cast out, anything that I can pray about, anything, any wisdom, my whole spiritual world starts with this practical application. I have to turn over, put my feet on the floor, get my flashlight, get out of bed, walk out, close the door, go over there, turn on the coffee pot. Candy gets it going the night before. Thank you, Homer. Amen. Go over and turn the alarm off. Go in the bathroom. Wash my face. Say, we really don't care about all this. No, no, I'm telling you what's spiritual. What's spiritual? Wash my face. Oh, God. Comb my hair. Brush my teeth. Go back out there. Pour a big slug. And sit down in that chair. Or a lot of times I'll go outside and just sit there. Meaning this is hours before dawn. Stars are out. And I start what is spiritual. I start change. How do you do that? I bring this. It gets light enough to start reading it. I'll start reading it. But I sit there. I begin to pray in the Spirit. Spirituality is not what you're getting here this morning. Spirituality is to take it and take it to the next level. And saying that, I'm reminded, I don't know who might be going to the Young Adults Conference in July, and I encourage you to go. And Homer and I are in agreement with that. But I would say this, if anybody, any young adult is waiting to go there to start going to change or get closer to God or get jacked up, you're already out of order. You're already out of order because you're receiving all of that now here. Praise God. No shoutings. I heard, and this is no condemnation, this is just how all of us are. The application of change starts if you can break same old, same old. Can you break the patterns in your life? So it goes back to, what has he said to you? Are you a late night person? Are you an early riser? Or you take that hour off that you have during lunchtime, you run out there under a shade tree or sit in your car and read your word, pray in tongues, meditate the word, whatever he's saying to you, but you've got to be faithful to break those patterns. Otherwise, you stay the same forever. I heard, and this is no condemnation, I heard kind of the rhetoric of our group that went last year, and I'm telling you, I'm so proud of our young adults. Are you proud? And some of them, I heard them saying certain things like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. And I saw that for a month. And then things changed. There is no event that will ever change you. No event. It's the day in, day out. It's the beep, beep, beep early in the morning when you're not there. And I'm like, oh, God, why did I say that yesterday? I don't want to get up. That's what changes your life. That's what changes your life. It's not the goosebumps in here this morning. It's not me laying hands on you. It's not even the revelation that you receive presently. It is the revelation that you take and make a practical application to it. That's what changes your life. Glory to God. I love you folks. You're the greatest. Hallelujah. Because you can take my sarcasm and you don't get up and walk out. That's good. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. We got a little bit. Let's go back to, this may be the last Sunday I get to do this because I look so good in it, and I've got such a wonderful lab assistant, a beautiful lab assistant, my wife. Uh-oh. I'm going to let her put my lab coat on this morning, and I hardly ever, you guys know through the years I've been very sparse on props. These things will go over well on YouTube. It'll put something down in their minds. Thank you, ma'am. You're so gorgeous. Appreciate that. I think so. Whatever you think. Appreciate it. And I'm so thankful for Candy going with me. You know, I just, we as ministers or pastors should never assume that the wife has to do anything. That's their choice. And I appreciate it. I'm not her lord. I do not lord over her. I appreciate her spirituality and her choice in going forward. Why the lab coat? Because what we've been saying over the last several weeks, several Sundays, is we've been teaching a message on what does it take. And towards the end of it, I went and purchased this because I continue to say things like, we are like those... This is an illustration. We're like those lab technicians are lab scientists that are walking around with clipboards, and we're looking into microscopes, and we're looking in, we've got these Bunsen burners going, and we've got these, you know, all these lab things going on. And what are we looking for? Well, we're looking for the creeds and the apostles' doctrine and the power thereof. Why? Because what we're after here at Immokalee is this. We're after the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the dumb speaking. Now, grant you, there's no argument about it. Being born again is the most important thing. So we're not saying, oh, you got to speak in tongues, or you got to do this. No. Born again is the most important thing. Born again. But beyond that, see, here's the deal. The church at large is not spiritual anymore. The church at large is not spiritual. It's not. Thank you, Mark. It's not spiritual because what it tries to do, it tries to induce what man can do. And this sounds like an oxymoron, but the church is not called to do what it can do. It's called to do what it cannot do. It cannot do. In other words, what you cannot perform unless the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, that's what we're called to do. He's called us to come out and be separate from the world, not just in our actions of righteousness, but that the world looks at us with the telltale signs and says, wait, we can't do that. We cannot do that. And we started off months ago and we said some really things that just kind of sound weird to start with. Homer said, I didn't know where in the world you were going when I first heard you say that. When we first started saying things like, no one has died of starvation in Collier County in the last year, as far as I know. And we went into that whole thing, and I had to preface it a lot, and I don't have time to do it this morning. Like, man, don't get me wrong. Feeding programs or feeding ministries are good. Jesus had them. So you can't deny that. We may have one ourselves in the future, but here's the deal. You can feed people with no power. You can feed people with power. You can have street ministries with no power. You can do a whole lot of things with no power. And with all of everything that the Catholics are doing here, and, you know, the bless God, praise God, Naples, I've read about Naples. Naples, I don't know if this is still true or not, but Naples at one time, per capita, people living there, had more millionaires in it than any city in the United States. Because all the, you know, the rich people that retired, you know, the old money comes there, just, and they don't live there all the time. But there's enough money down there to finance 50 revivals, you know, to provide it all. And they send clothes over, they send food over, they want to feel good about their money, and that's okay. But here's the deal. I haven't read in Naples Daily News where anybody died in the last 10 years, where they come in and say, my God, this whole family starved to death. They escaped the feeding programs, they escaped government subsidies, they escaped all kind of stuff. The reason why I've said that time and time again is if that's not the case, then wouldn't you think, just by reason, just by deducing reason-wise, that particular problem has kind of been solved. That's kind of been solved. Here's what has not been solved. The blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the dumb speaking, the dead being raised in a supernatural revival that Hope Hospice couldn't save them. It continues to beg the question, is there a need for people like us? Now, we're not an elite group. We don't need to think of ourselves as some like, okay, we're better, thumb our nose, you know, we're better. But we have to know that the Bible teaches that there is, Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also. Now, I've read this. I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the read hundreds of times, just hundreds of times, back and forth, over and over and over again. Listen. The need for the spiritual church. In other words, to do what the world cannot do. They need us. We need to exemplify the works of Christ. And we're like these lab technicians to say, look, what is it? You know, what is it? And the laboratory is the behind the scenes prayer and fasting. It's in the investigation of the Word of God. It's the place where people are looking into, men and women of God are looking into the Word of God, coming out here saying this, go home, pray, fast, spend your hours, you know, early morning, afternoon, evening, go in there. And as we're looking, we say, God, this happened in the first church. The first church was not having Sunday night services saying, I say that Jerusalem is in revival. I say that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak. They weren't having that. The apostles weren't doing that. Well, why not? Because they were in revival. Revival was taking place. But what has happened is we've had 2,000 years of mega religious false teaching, dark ages. Listen, I wish I had time, but if I had time, and you've heard me do the exhortation before, this thing called glossolalia, this thing called praying in tongues, we think, oh God, this has been around for years. It has been around. It was introduced at the day of Pentecost over 2,000 years ago, but as far as a modern day exposition of God's glory in the earth, it actually fell once again because man had so taken it away. It actually fell once again only just a little over 100 years ago. The Azusa Street, Los Angeles, 1905-1906, can you imagine that? Just a little over 100 years ago. What I'm saying is we're infants in this thing called revival. I don't know how far we'll get. I think we'll get it all the way. I say, why not us and why not now? But if it's for no other reason to turn it over to these guys, they're just a couple of years younger than myself, is just to turn it over to them girls and just say, look, stay in there because the day is going to come where this is going to be taking place on a continual basis. And I got to teach it to you. Homer's got to teach it to you. We got to teach it to our kids. But the spiritual church, basically, in so many regards, is non-existent. It's just not happened. People don't see it. They don't see the power. The church is doing what it can do. Let's turn to Mark chapter 6. And I have to go there myself. I had it and lost it. Let me go to my iPad here. How many are still with me? Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. Oops. I said Mark 6. I mean Mark 16. You guys knew that I didn't know what I was talking about. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now, maybe this Sunday will be the last, maybe next Sunday, but we're trying to quickly reiterate some of the things that we've covered just when we got to Mark 16. Because these are the signs. Jesus said this, and we're going to get down into the red letters here. He's just about to go home. He's just about to go to heaven. And he said unto them in verse 15, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, we'll stop right there and you look up for a second. And I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit because there's so much that we've covered. And we do not need to kind of try to reiterate all of that. There would be so many, you know, the temptation here is to try to pull in as much and not go down any rabbit trails, but to let the Holy Spirit just speak pertinent to where, what he wants you to hear this morning. But what we do have to say here is this. Here, this exemplifies what I'm saying about the church being non-spiritual. These signs shall follow them that believe. And he lists five different signs here. And I'm not saying that that's an exhausted list, but he said these signs, semeno, that's the Greek word. Semeno means this. And it's not real big. You can go to your Strong's. I mean, I've got expanded where Strong's kind of give you a little bit, and I've got where I've got, you know, two or three or four pages sometimes on one word. But semeno means this. It means simple. It means indication, or it means indicator. And if you put it like this, said it like this, these indicators will follow them that believe. So we should have indicators. In other words, people will look at us and say, wait a minute, there's an indication. That's an indication that they believe. Shall follow is one word, and that word shall follow is a par Para Kaluthio. I'll get it. And it means to follow. This is amazing. It means to follow near to. Para Kaluthio means this. I said para. Para Kaluthio means this. To follow near to. These signs shall follow. Para Kaluthio. These signs shall follow near. In other words, they will be close to. In other words, it will be an everyday kind of indicator, or a continual indicator, or a close or near to in proximity to your lifestyle or who you are as a living, going, breathing human being, that these parakaluthos shall, or these signs shall parakalutho, or be close to your life. In other words, it's not just a once-in-a-lifetime indicator. It's a continual basis, a continual thing, indicator that continually causes the world to look and say, they're Christ's. They follow Him. Well, let's look at these. And I'm just going to have to remind you. Now, we had fun, didn't we? We had fun over the last several weeks with this, and we can't go back into it. What if these semenos, these signs, were the... What if these indicators were the prerequisites to joining every modern-day church? What if? Here's the fun we had. Okay, you want to join our church? Yes, Pastor, me and my wife want to join your church. We love you. We love you. Okay, here's the application. You take it home, and you read it, and you fill it out, and we'll look at it. And then if you've met the application, then you can join. Okay, what if the signs of a believer were what you got judged as to whether you could join the church? Well, first sign, or first question on the application, are you born again? Yes. When? Or born again or saved? Okay, so, okay. Next one is, have you cast out any devils recently? What? Are they crazy around here? No, Jesus said these are the things that'll be indicators that you are a spiritual church. How often do you speak? Let's see, what's this one? How often do you speak with other tongues? Other tongues? Are they offering a Wednesday night class to teach us a secondary language? Oh, wow, I think they... We'll just put down, yes, we will join that class if you offer it. How often do you lay hands on people for the purpose of seeing them recover from sickness, physical or emotional? Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure what they're talking about. You know, laying hands on people so they will recover. Subsequent question. Do they, by their own testimony, say, I got healed when you prayed? I had a horrible headache. You prayed for me. I took 5 Excedrin. Went home, laid down for 3 hours, and glory to God, when I woke up, it was gone. Hallelujah. Pastor, I thank God because we walk in a healing power in this church. Yes. I had strep throat. Yes. Testify. Come on, keep testifying. Testify. You laid hands on me. I recovered. Glory be to God. Yes, I went the next day. I got a strong amoxicillin from my doctor, and I took it for the last 2 weeks, and you laying hands, and I'll tell you, glory to God, I have recovered. Hallelujah. Wait a minute. I'm glad you did. And I'm not against doctors. I've recently taken some Advil. I think I took some this morning. I'm fighting something. But I'm winning. See, it doesn't matter. You know what matters? This word right here. This is my indicator. I will not stop. I will not stop. I'll preach the word sick if I have to and say His word says, by His stripes I'm healed. Because that's His word. It's not whether I feel good, don't feel good, whether whatever, doesn't matter about my emotions. This is the bottom line right here. This is the indicator right here. Hallelujah. So we just keep preaching. We just keep going forward. That's the absolute. So let's get just a little bit further into this morning, because we went there, and it says here, in my name, these signs shall follow, you'll cast out devils. Oh, I love this. Now here's where, and I'll just have to give an honorable mention of this because we can't go into it, but you know in that scripture that we mentioned, or we actually, I think we went there, I believe it's over in Mark or Luke, all three of them, kind of three of the four record this, but you know when Jesus cast out that legion. And legion wasn't the man. I don't know what the man's name was. The devil fell down in front of him and said, Jesus said, he spoke to the strong man. There's always a strong man, and that's the kind of the big boy on the inside. And he said, what is your name? And he said, I am legion, because we are many. Now, we studied that in if he was speaking and Jesus could get the truth. You know, he can get the truth. That devil had to say, and if you go to a Roman legion of the day, you get between 5,000 and 6,000. Can you imagine? Now, one devil will give a lot of people a bad hair day. You cuss the cat, you're mad, you know. If God cuts you off in traffic, say some things or whatever. A lot of that's just the flesh. But, you know, the devil's there to try to push it. But a lot of people have a real bad hair day, just get real depressed over one or two or three devils. Can you imagine have 5,000 or 6,000 running around on the inside of your head? That's bad news. But here's the amazing part. When Jesus, and see, it, you say, well, that's Jesus. No. He said, the works that I do, you'll do also. And then Jesus said to the man, he said to the devil, he cast him out. You know, we're not going to go into the whole conversation. They went into swine, ran off the cliff. But here's the amazing part. Once it was over, now this guy was an idiot. He's just crazy. Crazy as a bedbug. Run naked through the tombs, the fields, you know, cut himself. No man could hold him. You know, 15 guys probably couldn't whip him. He probably didn't weigh 130. He's just crazy as a bedbug. Just devil possessed. Had 5,000 devils on the inside of him. You couldn't, no UFC fighter could have handled him. He's just bad to the bone because he had all these devils inside of him. But here's the deal. Once these things were cast out, you find him hours later sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, washed, in his right mind. And the amazing part was there was no post-traumatic syndrome that he'd say, what, Jesus, where are you? I want to go with you. No. You stay here. Go into the Decapolis, these 10 cities, evangelize, talk about what God's done for you. He didn't say, oh, but wait a minute. Are you coming back next Thursday? Because I got to have counseling. See, because the reason why I was what I was is because Daddy, and please, when I say this, sometimes it sounds demeaning and it sounds like your situation really didn't cause you to be. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the power that we've been given. But Jesus, you got to come back. Because the reason why I was like I am, or was, Uncle raped me when I was little. Daddy molested me. I had all this. No. Jesus, there was no need. Why? Because of the catharsis, the cleansing, the power. Not only cast the devils out, it so enveloped his mind that his mind was sane and he wasn't blaming other people. I talk to Christians all the time, and they've been in Christ, they've been filled with the Spirit, and they're still talking about what somebody did to them 25 years ago. Get over yourself. Get over it. There's no excuse. Either we've been born again and we've been given something from the Spirit, and by His Word we have all the application to go in there and let. And so Jesus, it wasn't like I gotta. And so the only reason why I'm saying all that is this. And I believe in counseling. I went to a college where I sat under doctors. I sat under there. Two of the men that I had classes with were practicing clinical psychologists. They had a clinic right there where I went to school at. Brilliant men, doctors, and I'm not against counseling. I've received counseling myself. I've talked to other people that needed it and invoked it with loving kindness and tender mercies. It's important. The Bible talks about counseling. But the church today has replaced the power of God with counseling. They've replaced being able to lay hands on those that are tormented, or even Christian brothers and sisters, and say, look, let me give you an anointing that breaks the yoke. Or I can't do this unless you are ground for it. But if you'll receive it, God can transport. And I can tell you this: peace can come on you at times where it does. The subsequent questions, like I had another question for you, and I had, you know what? Sometimes you'll sit down with people, and unless they're ready to let the Holy Spirit heal them, they will wear you out. They'll wear you out. Well, I want to talk about this. Listen. They call it, you know, it's a catharsis, a cleansing. Some people will talk you down, not talk you down, down to you, but just talk and talk and talk and talk. And then, can we talk again next week? And can we talk? You know what? A lot of times they're just, bless their hearts, they're bottomless pits. You can't fill in enough wisdom to them. You can't give them enough. They'll always want something else. I got to tell you this story. When I was 2, I stubbed my toe, and nobody put a Band-Aid on it. And from that point on, I've been a terrible mess. Okay. Well, let's cover this. You Band-Aid devil, I tell you in Jesus. No. You know, you say, Pastor, you're making light of it. No, I'm just saying the church has replaced. Do the counseling. Do the talking. We need each other. Iron sharpens iron. We need to talk to one another. We need to share. But listen, when it comes down to it, the sharing is only so much. The talking goes only so far. Then you've got to enter into power. Then you've got to go into a place of prayer and fasting. And you've got to do it for yourself. Otherwise, it will not matter if you talk to them 1,000 sessions. They'll still have the same old hang-ups. They'll still be doing the same old, same old. Glory be to God. So it's so vitally important, and we talked about the 12 jurors, if they looked at you and said, can we convict this person based on the 5 indicators? What if the 12 people that knew you the best was sitting on a jury? Would they come back and say, you know what? We find the defendant not guilty, not having enough indications to be called a Christian. That's sobering. That's pretty sobering. But let's just read on just a little bit. Okay, he says here, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They have cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. We really don't have to go into that one so much. We cover that one so much around here. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink, take up serpents. Okay, we did that one last Sunday, the Sunday before I left, and hopefully we'll get to the end here in just a few minutes of Mark 16. Taking up the serpents. Now, this would be my go-to scripture. You know, I'm a country boy. Ralph and I, we like to get out in the woods when we can. We don't do that nearly as much as we used to. If I was bit by a serpent, I'd go to this one. I'd say that's my go-to scripture. You know, I'm not going to die. Why? Because it takes a... But listen, that's not what he was talking about. And he was not talking about you picking up a serpent, bringing it in church and saying, see, if y'all start that, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And I don't want nothing to do with you. You know, my daddy taught me a long time ago how to. You know, first of all, I've wrestled hundreds. Ralph and I both. We've wrestled hundreds of hogs. Hundreds. I know how to catch alligators. I look at those guys on TV and people go, oh, my God. My daddy taught me a long time ago how to catch them. I've caught them. I've brought them into the house before. It's just the funniest thing in the world. See, we had this big, huge... My daddy built this huge house. It was beautiful. It was almost a mansion-style house for my mama. And I brought this alligator in to let him in the kit on this tile floor, and he was chasing my sisters around this tile floor in this big old house. And I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. But snakes, I don't want your snakes, okay? I don't like snakes. I pick up an alligator, catch an alligator, all that stuff, big hogs, but I don't like snakes. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, what we found out is this, because these signs shall follow. Shall follow means it's a close proximity. How many of you know the Word of God is applicable to every generation? So Jesus, and I did a statistical study on this, how many Americans, were 350 going on million, I think that's right, how many Americans will die each year from poisonous snake bites? You know how many? We said it a few weeks ago. Possibly. Now, one statistic said there's a 0% because of the antivenom that they have. The other one said this: it's possible that one out of 50 million could possibly die. That's not a paracalutho. That's not a daily thing. In other words, six people out of 350 million may, it's possible, die in America this year. In other words, that's not a problem, is it? Snakes are not a problem. And I didn't get up this morning, I didn't get up on the trip and say, I say I'm claiming in Jesus' name I will not be bit by a snake today. I'm not going to die if I'm bit. He wasn't talking about that. But we went into that place in Luke where it talks about that Jesus sent out the 70. They came back in. They said the devils were subject to us. And he said, Jesus reported to them, I saw Satan fall as lightning from the sky. When you went into these cities that I sent you into, they said the blind saw, the lame walked, we cast out devils. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from the sky. Then he went on to say, in the same context, he said, you'll tread upon serpents and you'll tread upon scorpions. What he was saying is, you will be able to go into impossible situations and handle what is viperous, what is venomous, what is so horrible. And I said a couple of weeks ago, and it's so true, the church, many members, or much of the church, has what they think painted across their, you know, their person, fragile. Handle with care. I'm fragile. You should not be fragile. You've got Jesus on the inside of you. You should be able to go into the most horrible situations. And I'm not just talking about drug addiction and all those kinds of things where you got family members. I'm just talking about all kinds of things where people are mixed up and you're able to go in there with the power, the wisdom of God. You don't get caught up in their conflict. You don't start doing the things that they're doing, but you step in with the anointing and you handle, per se, the serpents because they're messed up. Listen, as a pastor through the years, I've been called into a lot of horrible situations. It's the best and the worst. The best is I get to serve beautiful people. The worst is, and it's a good thing, it's not worst, but I know a lot that you'll never know and you shouldn't know. I know a lot that Candy doesn't know. Now, if a woman tells me something, I'll tell Candy immediately. I have no woman on the earth except, no woman, I was going to say my daughters, were, but no. Everybody, any woman that ever tells me anything goes straight to Candy because we share it. Now, men will tell me stuff, and she never asked me, what they want to see? She never asked me. She's not a Jezebel. Praise God. She's beautiful. She doesn't have a controlling spirit. I keep things. That's a part about being a pastor. You ought to keep things. If you have a problem keeping things, you don't need to be in the ministry. If you have like, I know something, I'd like to tell somebody, I just wish I could tell somebody. You don't need to be in the ministry. You don't need to know. You don't need to have nowhere near around the ministry. But I've been called to a lot of impossible situations. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, here's the deal. Law enforcement. When they get called, now I know this by you're just hearing about it, reading about it. Law enforcement, when they get called to spousal problems, when a man and woman, a man and his wife is fighting, they don't like that. They got to go in there, and if somebody gets slapped or hit or whatever, somebody's going to jail. It's just you, nowadays they have no. If anybody gets touched, they don't even allow you to say I want to or don't want them to go. They just handcuff you. I mean, if somebody gets shoved, slapped, pushed, whatever, okay, that you're going to jail. But here's the deal. What they have to watch, from this is what I understand from them, what they have to watch about getting hurt, they have to watch about getting hurt from the spouse that called it in. In other words, they come in and they start separating them. And before long, there's been many police officers shot or had something broke over the head by the wife that called in the thing on her husband. Because once they start being aggressive with him, then she starts raising up for him, or vice versa. I've been called into a lot of situations in 30 years of ministry where I got into it and started trying to help somebody, and before long, everybody was mad at me. was like, you know what? I just sitting at home watching football. I just want to eat my, you know, my sandwich and just, I mean, y'all got me involved. And I mean, now everybody, and you just feel like, I mean, you just feel like saying, well, dude, you, no, I won't say that. I mean, Candy and I were called to a situation one time. Went over there to try to help somebody. And for long, you know, the law's there, and then the people that are there is cussing us out, and then somebody else that, you know, we thought we'd be doing them a service to come in, then they come there and they started telling us off, and I'm thinking, oh my God. I just, you know, but here's the deal. That's what we're called to. You're called into step into those venomous situations, because my flesh, a lot of times, I'll see, boy, if I just even touch this, somebody's going to get mad at me. If I speak the truth, you know, that part of the family is going to get mad at me because they're standing against that part, and if I just touch this in any way, somebody's going to get mad at me. Maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people is going to get mad, and I'd just rather just sit home and just do whatever, you know. Just, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's true, not just for me as a preacher. If you're going into God, somebody's going to get mad at you no matter what. You can say, you know what? No, I'm going to go out in the desert. I'm going to dig a hole, get in it, get me a big screen TV in there and just watch football and eat popcorn, pray in tongues. And somebody, and you ain't bothering nobody. You ain't just bothering nobody. I don't want to fight nobody. Somebody will go out there in the desert, search you up, dig you up, and say, they want to fight with you. I want to argue. What are you doing out here? I just come out here because I didn't want to fight nobody. Well, you ain't got no excuse to be out here. Somebody's going to find some reason to be mad at you as you walk into Christ. That's just that. But we're called to impossible situations. We're called even when we go in and I look at it, you know what? I'm going to make somebody mad here because I got to say something. I'm going to make somebody mad. Somebody ain't going to be happy. But I can handle this. Cause fragile, handle with care is not on me. It's not on you. We can pick up serpents. And here's maybe the last, or we get down here. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, we went over that quite a bit. We even commented on that. But they'll drink any deadly thing, and this is where we'll close. Listen, if this is a semeno, if this is a paracolutho, which is an everyday indicator, now, this will happen sometimes. This is more, the statistics on this is higher than getting bitten and dying of a snake. More people get poisoned. And especially like this would be my go-to scripture if one of my little ones, or my grandkids, and a lot of mothers have had to, you know, pray over their kids because they even though we got those rubber bands on there or those snaps or whatever, they get into the under the sink. Okay, that's a good application. You know, drink that. That's a good go-to scripture. Drink any deadly thing; it'll not hurt them. I'd go to that one if somebody didn't like me and they tried to poison me. That'd be my go-to scripture. It's a good one for missionaries. You know, I've heard missionaries for years say, "We drink deadly things." But it, you know, they tried to, or they didn't know it was in there, and but it's not a paracolutho. In other words, the statistics on that still, like drinking poison. Certainly, I'm not going to drink poison intentionally, and you'd have to have a suicidal desire to do that. So the application of that is still so far-reaching. But you know what it's talking about? It's talking about that we. And again, I'm preaching this sitting down, not preaching it at you. I'm preaching it with you because this is an indicator that touches all of our lives. And as I said, even this morning, in a practical sense, I'm trusting God concerning my body. But here's the deal: this one is an indicator that says, "Look, in a world of all kinds of diseases, in a world of all kinds of poisons, in a world of all kinds of germs, in a world of sickness, the indication is this: you'll have a supernatural immune system. You'll have a supernatural health in your life." And it goes all the way back to Psalms chapter 105, and it said that when God brought them out, that talking about the Israelites, that once they came out of Egypt, and that typifies our stepping over into Christ. Once they came out of Egypt, it said, now, I don't know what it was prior to. I bet there was, because there was 1.5 million that came out. There was, out of 1.5 million people, I bet a lot of them were sick. And I bet a lot of them had diseases. And I bet a lot of them were feeble. But it said once they crossed the Red Sea and he brought them out, it said there was not one sickly, not one feeble among them. Our indicator is this. We should be living lives that says on a continual basis they're healthy people. They're healthy people. Now, what about the people that are following Christ and we see different... there is blatant attacks of the enemy. But here, some of the people that we know best, some of the men that are pastoring us, are going through some blatant attacks in their body. But I can tell you about these men. I can tell you about Homer. I can tell you about myself. It doesn't matter whatever is trying to defy that truth. We stand up and give you the absolute word of truth and says, look, no matter what's coming against us physically or what's coming against you physically, the word teaches us we should live supernaturally healthy lives. This is one of our indicators. Poisons will come at us. Sicknesses will come at us. All kinds of diseases will come at us. And we should be to the world a sign, a living sign in these last days that we live healthy lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Been a good audience. I'm glad I'm back. And I appreciate all of you. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. We'll close and... just have a wonderful day. No church tonight. We'll rest. Enjoy the afternoon. Do something with your family. Good beach day, somebody said earlier. It's all right to go to beach on Sunday. If you didn't have Sunday night service, that's the only thing. Okay. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and we praise you. And we give you all the praise and glory. We bless you. We thank you for these signs that shall follow and do follow us. We thank you for the great days ahead and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we give you all the praise and glory. Bless now all this congregation going forward this day and in this week, and bring us back Wednesday night to meet together, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.